Essentials podcast. We focus on the top areas that tech CEOs need to know. I'm your host, Tom Cooper, and this podcast is sponsored by my company, Bright Hill Group, where we believe that because people matter, we must lead them well. Today's topic is impeccable customer service. What are the essentials that a tech CEO needs to know to make customer service a profit center rather than just a cost center? Today, I've got the privilege of interviewing Steve Dorfman. Now, Steve is a master of customer service. And since 2006, Steve's had a business where leaders come to Steve to help them create or reinvigorate their company's customer service culture. His highly interactive talks and training programs are designed to educate, engage, and develop frontline staff. And Steve helps clients do things like create remarkable experiences for customers and clients, building a consistent referral business, and increasing repeat customer loyalty, all of which translates to strengthened culture and increased profits. And I'm interested to see how Steve has done that coming out of a background where Steve worked as a sales consultant for a luxury automaker. And you don't really think of great customer service when you think of car sales, so we may have to touch on that a little bit as well. But Steve was in the top Salesman of the Year 7 years in a row and had a customer satisfaction index rating in the top 1% nationally, worked by appointment only, which I think is amazing, and referral business accounted for 70% of his sales. That's incredible. So, Steve, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Tom. Good to be with you.
So I know that you rave about the whole question of impeccable customer service. Why impeccability? What does that mean?
Well, if you think about how rare it is to experience great customer service, let alone impeccable customer service, in everybody's own experiences day to day, it's a little disheartening, really, to realize that there are very few businesses getting it right. And so, I like this word impeccability, not because it has people think of perfection, because it's really not about perfection, at least in the context of customer service and the way that I like to talk about it and train folks. But it's more about looking at impeccability as this intersection between precision and care. So again, not about perfection. Perfection is off-putting. We don't want to work with a business or an individual that's way too polished and is either perfect or at least thinks they're perfect. That's just kind of unrelatable and off-putting. So again, impeccability is about this intersection between precision and care. It's about setting a standard below which you refuse to go, even when others around you might be compromising theirs. So that's the way I like to think of impeccability.
So now that I have to say, that seems a little bit, I understand the concept, but it seems kind of theoretical. So can you give an example of what that looks like? What is impeccable versus perfect, or what is that? Help me understand that a little bit better.
Okay, well, it starts with the details that make up our experience with a company. So when the details that make up an experience with a company are impeccable, then a lot of times in our eyes, the company itself is seen as impeccable. And so to give you an example, I think that many of us have maybe a favorite restaurant that we like to visit, and if a restaurant's really getting it right, then they're hitting three areas. They're hitting consistently great food, consistently great service, in a consistently warm and welcoming environment. So it's that easy, but it's that difficult.
Easy to say.
Yeah, to hit those three things consistently, and have people think of the experience as impeccable, it's quite a tall order. But I would imagine that hopefully a lot of folks have a favorite restaurant that hits that mark. It's a rare thing. So not everybody does. I like to ask people of their own experiences. Not everybody has an example they can draw from, because this is pretty rare, but I once worked for a restaurant like this. I was a teenager working for a small chain, three stores, and they did things like, first, if you were a guest in one of these restaurants, then you'd notice that there were condiments on the table. There was a ketchup bottle, and there was a sugar caddy, and there was a pepper mill and salt. But what you might not know about this place is that it was run like the military. So that sugar caddy always had 25 sugars, 25 sweet and lows, and 10 equals in it. The packets were always right side up, so you could actually read the labels. or they look uniform. The pepper mills always worked and were always full. And, you know, that was just the condiments on the table. You can imagine how impeccability permeated everything that this restaurant touched, everything we did, you know, from recipe adherence to the quoted wait times being accurate when the restaurant was on a wait. We wore heavily starched uniforms with a crease down the sleeves and a crease down the front of the apron, and we had a lineup before each shift so that everybody's uniform would be inspected. And so this is impeccability. And still, this is over 20 years ago, I worked for this place as a server. And still, I compare, and the people that I worked with, who I'm still close with, at least a dozen of them, by the way, we all compare our experiences today to that experience that we created, you know, some 20, 25 years ago in this restaurant. Now, as a result of this impeccable culture, this place was always busy, always on a wait, and profitable. They had three stores. They did really, really well. Once they lost that focus on impeccability, things started going downhill. You know, they no longer wore these heavily starched charcoal gray pants from a particular store. They were allowed to wear jeans, and you know, the recipe adherence started falling off. You started to see a lot of turnover in all departments. They went through a change in management. The focus on impeccability was lost. And as a result, they ended up actually closing all three locations.
So I think what I'm hearing you say is that there was a direct correlation between their focus on getting the details right and their profitability.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I guess the question that comes to my mind, though, is that you talked about at the very top of the interview, you talked about the issue of it's not perfection. And it sounds like really you were describing a place that was aiming for perfection. How can you be warm and welcoming and be perfect?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's this relentless pursuit of perfection. I think that's Lexus's motto or slogan, the relentless pursuit of perfection. So we have to be willing to accept that we're not going to ever be perfect. But if we're on a pursuit of perfection, and if we think of it as impeccability, which again I describe as this intersection between precision and care, well, if you think about the precision, you know, that's maybe the perfection piece, or at least a lot of people are going to think of it that way. But then the care piece, that's where the warm, welcoming, friendly piece comes in. You were asking how do you be impeccable and still be approachable and warm and friendly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the care piece comes in, and I think you've got it really good at demonstrating care. And I think that out of an impeccable culture, I think that you're leaving people with two feelings, right? And this should be the goal. One feeling is, wow, they thought of everything. That's where the precision comes in. And the second feeling is, I felt completely taken care of, and that's where the care piece comes in. So it's an intersection between precision and care. I felt completely taken care of, and wow, they thought of everything.
Well, but hang on a second. I mean, that really presumes that you have empathy with your customer. You kind of know what they're thinking and what their needs are. Maybe you put yourself in their position.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think that you know, that spills right into my new favorite thing, and my new favorite thing is. Examples of anticipating client needs, anticipating customer needs, getting really good at actually sometimes presenting your customers with something that they didn't even know was missing from their lives or missing from the experience with your company. So some examples of this. Here's a real basic one. We've all done this where we're on a rainy day, we walk into an office building. And before we even get into the lobby, from the vestibule, a lot of times you'll see these wet bags for your umbrella. You
mm-hmm.
seen these?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, on a very basic level, what a smart thing to do. I mean, this is something we just started seeing pop up over the, you know, the past 5 or 10 years probably. But a really simple, you know, inexpensive thing to do. But what's neat about this is that it's not only anticipating the customer need, but I think it goes beyond that, because if we got a bunch of customers together and said, hey, we're trying to make the experience better for people that come in and out of our office building, what ideas might you have? We did this focus group with, say, 25 people. Do you think anybody would have come up with that?
Right.
Not necessarily. So I think it actually goes beyond anticipating needs, because I think you're showing people something they didn't even know was missing. I mean, this is like invention. I think it even goes as far as invention. And I love this quote from Steve Jobs really sums all of this up. He's got many quotes he's famous for, but he once said, a lot of times people don't know what they want until you show it to them. So on a very basic, in a very basic example, those wet bags for your umbrella is a great, great example of that. And Tom, we were talking earlier about something that you experienced at a Chick-fil-A.
Oh, yes. As a father of several young children, I'm always intrigued by the way that restaurants handle needs that customers have. And I saw in the men's room on the counter, at the sink, they had a sign that said, "Hey, dads, if you happen to need a diaper, let us know. We keep a wide variety of sizes and types available. Just ask a team member, and we'll be glad to take care of that for you."
Yeah.
Exactly, because I can tell you that guys don't like to ask for help, and we certainly don't want to admit when we forgot to bring the diaper bag, which does happen. So,
sure.
Yeah, that's a really good one. And I think the other thing that I've heard you talk about based on your car sales experience, which surprised me when I heard you tell the story, was about giving people a checklist of things that they're going to need to know as they transition cars.
Yeah, so I noticed when I was selling cars in the early days, and I did it for 11 years, but in the early days I noticed that of course a lot of people have a trade-in, so they're not just coming to picking up a new car, there's an exchange taking place, they're leaving their old car, picking up the new one. Well, in the early days I noticed that a lot of times they weren't just leaving their car with us, they were leaving their CDs in the CD changer. They were leaving their coins in the coin tray. They were leaving their Easy Pass on the windshield hidden behind the rearview mirror,
yep.
Right? They were leaving their sunglasses in the sunglass holder. And it was like everybody forgot something, So I thought, why not prepare them for their visit? It would be doing us a favor and them a favor as well to proactively address this common occurrence. I just saw it happening over and over again. So I would email my. This is back in '95, so not everybody had email. So I'd also a lot of times just pop a note in the mail because I knew that,
that
they'd
works,
have it.
Right?
They'd have it the next day, and I worked by appointment, so I knew when they were coming in to pick up a new car. So it was time to get them this checklist, and the checklist said something like, "Look, here's a list of the things that a lot of people tend to leave behind. So you might just want to." Take a moment to search your trade-in for these things. Now, I also use that opportunity to remind them of what we would need them to bring along with them. So things that my inventory manager really appreciated, like please remember your extra keys, your extra remotes.
Mm-hmm.
Please remember your owner's manual, any service records that you might have, the key for your wheel locks, these types of things that that would prevent them from having to visit us again. And even their title. You'd be amazed at how often people forgot to bring their title and their lien release with them. You know, customers don't go to customer school. They
right.
don't know these things. So I think we really have to take the responsibility of providing them with just preparing them for their visit.
So, all right, so let's think about that, kind of where the rubber meets the road. So let's say that my customers are not coming to my site. They're not coming to my location. They're going to my website, or they're downloading software from me, or they're installing it on their local systems. And I don't, I'm not interacting directly with them as much as I might otherwise. How would I even begin to start to consider what their perspective looks like that might help me to be able to anticipate those wet bags for the foyer?
Yeah. I saw a great example of this not too long ago. I switched primary care physicians and went to the website for this practice, and I noticed that on their website they had the forms that we always have to fill out when we visit our doctor's office that we hate filling out. They handed us clipboard.
Right.
And
17 pages, yeah.
It's 17 pages, yeah, and the receptionist, hands it to you, and you start to fill it out right there. No, go have a seat in our waiting area. And here's,
and you're going to be here a while. Here's a Snickers.
Here's a pen that doesn't work, and here's a bunch of boxes that are too small for the information, right? And here's some people looking over your shoulder at your private information as you're doing this in the waiting area. So there's so many things that are broken about that don't work about that process. Well, this practice did something that probably cost them zero to do, and that was they had a page on their website where you could download the forms. Hmm. Actually, there were three options. You could fill out the PDF on screen and just submit it to them. You could print the forms, fill them out, you know, at your convenience in the comfort of your own home, and have them completed and ready for your visit. So that was the PDF. And then if you didn't have Adobe, which, you know, I guess maybe some people today don't have an Adobe Reader, they had the Microsoft Word version as well.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, I mean, how great to be able to walk into your doctor's office and not be handed a clipboard full of forms. You know, instead of them handing you forms, you're handing them completed forms. You're ready to roll.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, I think that idea of what's the fit and finish, how do you get your installer to work painlessly for your customer? How do you get the registration on your website to work so that the customer is able to easily get connected and communicate appropriately with whatever permissioning or whatever access rights they need to have? You know, how is that handled? Those are some things that initially come to my mind about that. You know, how can you think about, if you were not your customer coming into your, to do business with you for the first time, how, you know, what do they look like? How do they think? What's happening from their perspective? Because I think when you talk about, you know, they've thought of everything, or I felt really well taken care of, it's that you've anticipated the thing that might go wrong.
Yeah, or you're preparing them with something that is just going to make their life a little bit easier. So I'll give an example of this. You know, Eventbrite is a popular website for it's sort of like the Evite for the professional world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I've noticed about registering for an event through Eventbrite is that almost every page you land on, they have this add to calendar icon.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know, Tom, you and I are probably better at this than most people about, you know, scheduling things on the calendar, but lots of folks don't, might not be as well organized. And so to have a little icon that they can push and it automatically asks them, do you use iCal, Google Calendar, Yahoo Calendar, or Outlook?
Right.
And just click here, and it adds the event to your calendar. There's nothing more you have to do. And now, not only is the event on your calendar, but there's important information that you might need to know about the venue. Maybe there's parking instructions. Of course, the address of the venue. Maybe details about the registration process once you arrive. Whatever they want to populate that calendar event with, and of course the day and time, but it's like, this is low hanging fruit. You know, this is not difficult stuff to anticipate.
But hang on a second, Steve.
Go ahead.
So
yeah.
I guess the thing that I struggle with here with this idea, I agree it's not difficult, but it must be hard because not enough people do it. You know, it's rare. And so let me ask you, when you're working with customers, how do you help them begin to do this stuff that you say is not rocket science? How do you, because obviously there's a gap between what they want to do and what they're actually doing. So what do you do that's different to help them begin to see those opportunities and then to take advantage of them?
Yeah, that's a great question. It is about raising awareness. So one of the things that I'll do is, I'll talk about two things. One is showing examples of this idea of anticipating customer needs. So I'll show them pictures of these types of things that you and I are talking about, the screenshot of add to my calendar, or mm-hmm. The screen, or a picture that I took in a building's lobby of these wet bags for your umbrella. Another image I show is recently Royal Caribbean added these kiosks to their every level of their new ships, and they were looking to address the fact that there are these common questions that people always have on a cruise ship. In fact, there are two questions that are just by and large the most common questions they get at their help desk. And the two questions are, what activities are going on right now,
mm-hmm.
and where the heck is my stateroom, because they're lost. So every floor of these new Royal Caribbean ships has this touchscreen kiosk, and there are only 6 buttons on this touchscreen. Of course, the top two are what I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. What activities are going on right now, and how do I find my stateroom? Another one is a restroom finder. Then there's a cruise compass. and one for dining, and then another one. So, but this was simple. They just looked at what are the questions that we get most often when people come to the help desk on this ship. Let's proactively answer those. These are the FAQs. Why not answer them? And we could even use technology to do that. Lots of people prefer to touch a screen than to wait in line at a help desk, right?
So that's a really good point. So you're getting an opportunity to understand from the information you already have, be able to quantify what types of things you could do. That's great. I think that's very useful.
So there's one way that you get people thinking about how to anticipate needs. You share some fun examples. I was recently doing a half-day workshop training for an IT company who also does software development. And since this was an afternoon workshop, they had sandwich platters delivered at the beginning so that everybody could get something to eat before we started. And this particular restaurant, deli, they didn't just order sandwich platters. Their sandwich platters came color-coded. Okay, so if you can imagine a round platter full of sandwich wraps, you don't know what the heck's inside those wraps.
Right. Is that chicken salad, or is it turkey salad, or is it roast beef? Yeah.
So these they had colored dots on the. They had like 12 different types of wraps, and so there was a different color on each of the different. Wraps, and then there was a chart. They brought along a chart that folded up like a little table tent, so that when people came around to grab something, they could see, oh, orange means chicken salad with avocado.
Interesting.
Yeah. So these are just again, this is I like to call it low hanging fruit because it's not rocket science. But who else is doing this stuff? That's the neat thing about it. So to answer your question, Tom, how do you get people thinking along these lines? I think you have to show them some examples. And the other thing that I like to talk about with folks when I do trainings is based on a Gallup poll. And this Gallup poll is actually kind of a well-kept secret because not many people know about it, but it's based on customer expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And more specifically, customers that were polled and asked about expectations, this was under the context of how to turn prospects into advocates. So. Mm-hmm. This was about how to create raving fans of your organization, and here's what they found. They found that the customers expect four things, and I'm gonna talk about these four things, and each one is more important than the previous. So at a very basic level, customers expect accuracy.
So okay.
Every industry is a little different. You can determine what that means, what that looks like in your industry, and how you might be able to demonstrate accuracy in your industry.
Mm-hmm.
That's level one. Level two is availability. Customers expect availability. So again, you can think about how that might apply to your industry, how you might be able to demonstrate availability to your customers. So now that's levels one and two, accuracy and availability. Now, They're the fundamental levels. They're important because they made the cut. They're in the top four, but they're fundamental. They're basic, and they can easily go from competitive advantage to commodity because they're easily duplicatable. Even you can even automate them, so you can quickly lose a competitive advantage on either one of those or both. Now we get into the higher levels, three and four. Level three is partnership. So. In every industry, we can be thinking about what are some ways we can demonstrate partnership. How can we provide our customers and clients with a sense of partnership? It's this feeling that I'm on your side. It's not you over there and us over here. It's I'm on your side. We're in this together, right? How can we demonstrate that partnership?
Mm-hmm.
And then the highest level, the fourth level, is advice and learning. So if you're able to provide your customers and clients with advice and learning opportunities, you've engaged at the highest level of customer expectation. These top levels, three and four, advice and learning and partnership, these involve a lot of times more of a human touch. They're not so easily duplicated and not so easily automated either. So these are the highest level of customer expectation. And so this is another way that we get the conversation going, and I'll get people into teams and they can discuss in their teams how they can demonstrate these four levels of customer expectation in their industry.
Gosh, that's good stuff. And I'm sure we could take a good amount of time to unpack each one of those in a powerful way. Unfortunately, we don't have time to do that. I'd love to, though. It's fascinating stuff. What I would like to touch on is you have this thing you call the ISAT, and it's an assessment that you're providing for our listeners to be able to download to help them. And just briefly, what is the ISAT, and how would it help them from a customer expectations perspective?
Well, if nothing else, the ISAT is a conversation starter. So I use this both in presentations and also in trainings that I do. And I've actually got the one that you're going to make available for your listeners is really comprehensive. But as comprehensive as it is, it takes 3 minutes to complete. In fact, I always tell folks that that we time it, and if you really should complete it in 3 minutes or less, otherwise it means you're overthinking the answers.
You're trying too hard.
And since I developed the very first ISAT, I've actually developed a couple of others that are industry specific. So right now I'm working with medical practice, and so I developed an ISAT that is specific to healthcare, and recently was asked to present for the HR Leadership Forum. So I developed another ISAT that is specific to HR. But to answer your question, it's 10 questions that you rate yourselves, you assess your company from your own perspective on a scale of 1 to 0 to 10. You answer 10 questions. So questions like, my team intentionally exercises under-promising and over-delivering, or our clients would say they feel completely taken care of.
Hmm.
Or we acknowledge our mistakes, take responsibility, and actually say we're sorry.
Hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So these are the types of things. And, of course, one of my favorites, we anticipate the needs of our clients and proactively address those needs.
Wow.
So you rate yourselves on a scale from 0 to 10 on each of these questions, and you get to find out whether you are average, below average, or rock stars in your service aptitude.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, I think that's very helpful to give people some kind of benchmark to kind of look at, and then you've got something to work from, because you can say, okay, we were at this level before, now where do we want to go next and how do we get there?
That's right.
Well, that's fantastic, Steve. That's amazing stuff, and I think, you know, I can easily see from my experiences, customer service in general is not great, and just giving a focus to these kinds of ideas, I could easily see that being a competitive advantage for companies. I appreciate very much your contributions here. Now, if people want to get in touch with you or they want to learn more about you, I think your website is driven2excel.com. Is that right?
That's right, Tom.
Great. Well, please check out Steve's stuff. He's got some really great stuff. Also, you can sign up for his impeccable customer service tip of the day, which is it's really a very helpful, concise way to start thinking more about these ideas. And you can go to Steve's website to sign up for that. So, Steve, thank you so much. This has been really great stuff. And for our listeners, join us next time for more Tech CEO Essentials. We've got other topics coming up dealing with communications and conflict resolution, accounting, legal, even more stuff. It's going to be great. For Brighthill Group, this is Tom Cooper signing off.